Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John compares himself to Larry Bird and tries to correct his horrible posture. Meanwhile, I wish I was more optimistic and tell the incredible tale of the shortest player in Major League Baseball history. Plus a conversation about disappointment and what it really means to be tested by God. Today's episode is not sponsored by Acoustic Guitars. Just learn three chords and you have everything you need to ruin someone's bonfire party. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Strap in. Buckle up. Another episode. Talk about that. Johnny John taking our friends down to Bantertown. Maybe you heard of it, Johnny.
It's a perfect time of year for it.
For Bantertown?
Yeah.
I love how they...
I like that we have all four seasons in Bantertown.
Yeah.
You ever hear people say that? They always talk about how they like where they live because they get four seasons.
Someone said that we were in an airport together.
Uh-huh.
Who said that?
I can't remember.
You heard it too, though, right?
Yeah, but they like talking about that.
I was like, do we, though?
Yeah, but it's like...
We get like a day of spring.
Because people say that, like, oh, you could live in California, but you don't get all the seasons. You're like, yeah, they skip the bad ones.
Exactly. Like, you get the seasons you want there. I do like it being a little cold at Christmas.
Yeah, it feels more Christmassy.
Yeah.
You don't
but
want...
But it's usually not cold at Christmas for
not,
us.
Not here. It can be a little nippy out, but not... Yeah, it's never snowing, hardly. Never, we never have a white Christmas.
I like the idea of four seasons, but I don't feel like we have much of a fall or a spring anymore.
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's in spurts.
And it can turn back to like 98. Like there are times...
1998?
Johnny, it feels
wasn't
like
98. Wasn't that a... Doesn't it, though?
If you're not a Vols fan, by the way, people say feels like 98 all the time because that's the last time we won a national championship.
They're saying this may be our year.
Right.
Is it ever, though, John?
No. It's more likely to be 98 degrees. Oh, we did have an 11-win season, which is the first time in 20 years. So, I mean,
yeah.
It could feel like 98.
But we play 12 games now.
Did they change the...
Yeah, because we used to play 11 games.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's easier to get to 11 wins. Won't that
come
breach?
On now, guys. Some of y'all...
Somebody literally moved the goalposts.
Well,
we did when we beat Alabama.
We did
We tore
the
them
goalposts.
Down into the river.
That's right. Which is another UT thing, is the ceremonial marching.
People know what we're talking about.
I don't think they do.
If you listen to the show, you know we're Vol fans.
There's actually a lot of new listeners right now.
Oh, welcome, new listeners.
So if you didn't know, we're not trying to like put you to some...
We hope you enjoy your next podcast.
Some sort of, you know, regional square hole, and you have this round peg of desire of what you want for this podcast, and you're thinking, nary shall the two meet. But we want this to fit for you. You know what I'm saying? So I over-communicate, Johnny. Over-communicate.
That feels like... You don't want to be all things to all people in that way, where you're just pandering.
It's like, are you just right now misquoting scripture? It's like Paul says, you don't want to be all things to all people.
Well, I think if Paul had a podcast, though, he would just say it like it is. He wouldn't change his message.
See, I theorize if Paul had a podcast, that he'd be really soft-spoken.
Oh, really?
And maybe crying a lot, because he said, when I came to you, I came in fear and trembling and tears.
Tears.
So.
Huh.
What if it's just like...
I think we think that he might be abrasive, but maybe you're right. Maybe he, maybe if you get him, if you get him in a room, you put a microphone in front of him.
Well, it's the reverse engineering of things. Like if he says, you guys say it about me when I'm with you, I'm really timid and soft spoken, but then I write these letters, they're really strong and bold. So what we can extrapolate, Johnny, from that is that
he was a keyboard warrior. He kind of, he got his boldness as he wrote.
Yeah. I mean, because the dude preached one time and a guy died from boredom. Like he fell out of a window.
Yeah. Well, he was maybe just really sleepy. Maybe he worked third shift.
If you look in the Greek, Eutychus's true cause was he died of boredom. Okay. It's right there in the message.
Eutychus is where we get the word boredom.
I would like to take the message and create an amplified version of it. So if you don't know what amplified is.
Right. Paraphrased.
No. Amplified is not.
Oh.
Amplified is.
I thought it was paraphrased.
They add parentheses, parenthetical asides in the middle of the sentence that tell you what like those words would mean.
Right.
So like if it tell you what the English word would mean, but expound upon it. So if it says, you know, let your gentleness be known to all men, in the Amplified, it'd say reasonableness, tolerance. It'd have other words there that word gentleness can be translated as. So it's like it's almost like having a translation slash minor commentary embedded, so you don't have to go somewhere else to see it. You don't just make it one English word. You kind of get a fuller expression. I love the Amplified. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
What if you took the message,
right,
which is already now truly a paraphrase, okay, and then you created your own amplified version. So like whatever it is that they said that they thought it meant, now you expand it and add parenthetical other ideas into it. I like that.
I got a name for it.
Okay.
The gist.
Yes, the GST, the gist.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
We're going to give you the gist of this whole thing.
This morning we're going to be reading from the GST. You're going to get the gist of this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's a lot of, you know, it's one of those like...
It's like the Cliff's Notes.
Yeah. And I like how you put the S on Cliff's Notes.
It is. It's Cliff's Notes. It's not Cliff.
That's correct.
Clift.
But in just modern daily...
Well, it used to be that was what it was. It was Cliff Notes. But then this company that made Cliff Notes was called Cliff's Notes. They were making Cliff Notes, though. If I'm not wrong.
But
Cliff Notes was first.
Every student I've ever known just says Cliff Notes.
Oh, yeah. But it's Cliff.
But it's just simpler.
But it's Cliff's Notes because they were a company that made Cliff Notes.
But they're literally already wanting to do something shorter than the regular.
By the way, I didn't go to college, so I don't know how I even know this. But
well, you know, like you know, way more than anybody I know.
I don't know how I know about Cliff's Notes and Cliff Notes.
But we've literally made a Cliff
Notes. But I guess people did use them in high school. We're going to give you the gist of what the construction and production of.
I was always love that GST
Cliff Notes. Yeah, it's going to be something.
We did GST in a video or something one time, didn't we?
I don't know.
We've made that joke before. I think, actually, I'd like to say, rarely, I think that was my joke. I did GST.
I don't think so. But I do think you came up one time in a video with a press conference where we talked about, what was it? It was basically performance-enhancing drugs for
church growth hormone. Yes, CGH.
As you know, we've doubled in size. And we would like to go ahead and come out and say that we are not on church growth hormone, like you were just denying it.
Remember we had Zach, who's the what was his title? He was the
press secretary.
Press secretary, whatever. Yeah. He was like, all of our growth here is organic.
It's natural.
Natural.
We're doing the right things.
CGH.
We're discipling people.
Yeah.
It's very inside baseball church culture.
I think GST was mine too. You got to give me something here.
I don't know.
It's not great. You've never used it or anything till now.
No.
I mean, it's mediocre comedy. You want credit for it? I mean, some could say you've made a whole career out of mediocre comedy.
Whoa. Hey. Hang on.
That's
my job.
That was unkind.
You need to sit down.
if I ever go after Johnny, you could feel the whole like, wait a second. That's
Hold on. I'm supposed to punch. You're supposed to be a good sport about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We were talking a minute ago before we started recording about how this is the only relationship in your life where you're the optimist. And so it's very jarring to you.
What did I say to you?
I can't remember, but I was feeling like things are not going to go great.
It was a joke. It was a joke that came up with at lunch today.
Oh, and I said, I could already imagine it bombing.
And I was like, dude, I think it'll do great. You're like, no.
No.
And then the other day, I mean, this is real. We actually had some friction. We can't talk about it.
Oh.
It was minor friction.
Oh, I don't remember this.
It was like stress friction.
Okay.
But we were out of town together.
Yeah.
And I was encouraging you.
Right.
And you weren't having any of it. You were like, look, your encouragement may not come true.
Yeah.
So you're just being, you know, and I was like, well, and by the way, I feel that my encouragement.
You're being old Pollyanna. If that's a, does that but a reference, is that a reference you get?
Yes, I get it.
From the Disney, the yeah. Haley Mills Pollyanna?
Yeah.
Her, she's just pie in the sky. Wasn't she dying in that movie? And yet still has, she's like on her,
yeah.
And she's still just like.
But here's the thing, Johnny, I'm not a Pollyanna.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a forecaster of bad things.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell you.
Right.
Like, and I think that you are being so pessimistic about yourself that you literally couldn't.
But I'm
receive.
Hoping that it's not true. I'm not like saying, oh, I can't wait to be right about this. I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Well, all I was saying is
yeah.
I'm pretty confident that this is going to go like this. And could we tell the listeners?
No.
Did it? We can't tell what happened.
Oh.
But was I right? That's really what we want to.
You were right about it going well. You're not right about the end result.
I didn't. Yeah. I was not speculating on the end result.
Okay.
I was only speculating about what was going to happen that day.
Right.
Because you were like, this is not going to. I was like, you're going to do great.
I don't remember saying it.
I'm going to. And I was just like, bro, well, number one, use real words.
Yeah.
And then number two, you're going to do great. And you were like, I might not do great. Yes. You did great. And I was right.
Okay.
And if you ever hear me being optimistic,
yeah.
That's a good sign. It's a real good sign.
Well, Mike Birbiglia had this great bit that I saw the other day. He's workshopping this bit at the Comedy Cellar, and they had a clip of it that went live. And he's just talking about how in every relationship, do you know who that is, Mike Birbiglia? He's a famous comic. Anyway, he was talking about in every relationship, there's a person who worries a lot, and there's a person that says it's all going to be okay. And somehow, in my marriage, I have become the person that says it's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. And he goes, here's the thing, y'all. And he leans in, he goes, I don't think it's all going to be okay. I don't know how in the world I got this job. It was just such a funny, like, vulnerable moment. And it's yeah. true. I think, yeah, if you both are worriers, you would just spin out. So one person has to be the person that least worries less. And then they fall in that de facto role of you're the person that thinks it's going to be all okay. And the other person can just go, the sky is falling. And you'd be like, no, no, the market will be fine.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get the car fixed. Ugh. You know, our child will get into a good college, whatever you have to do to keep the car on the road. You say that thing, but then in your heart of hearts, you might disappear into a room and be like, I don't believe any of that. Like, you just have to be that person though.
Wow.
Cause the other person's a bigger worrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the ultimate worrier.
The ultimate worrier.
Is that you run with a panicked, you know, your eyes are bulging just like he was. You run to the ring and you shake the ropes out of sheer panic.
That is a reference.
What's funny is about that wrestler, he was one of the worst wrestlers ever. Like anybody that ever does a documentary about him,
yeah.
They talk about how he was the worst person to work with. And that running to the ring that he did, he was what's called, like in wrestling they have terms, and this term is called blown up, meaning he's already winded. So if you ever watch one of his matches, it never lasts longer than 5 minutes. He has to like beat that person quickly because he's already exhausted. So, like, they would just kind of walk to the ring slow and be like, oh, you know, the heel is getting the jeers from the crowd, and they're taking in the moment. He'd run out there, but it's not like he's in such great shape that he can then, like, do an hour-long match.
Wow.
He's already done.
He's like Kevin at the office doing his laps before his big speech.
Yeah, exactly.
He stops and peeks in the trash can.
Then he spills the chili. Wait, that's a different episode.
We'd like to stop and spill the chili.
Oh, as
just
it
for
were.
A second, and hear from a couple of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
I actually, it's funny when you talk about the who's actually worrying, who's actually holding it together. that's actually a spiritual journey for me because, like, again, Enneagram 6, things manifest as anxiety a lot, as fear. They're fear-motivated. You would have thought in our early days I was way more positive.
Maybe, or just, like, delusional,
yeah.
Almost.
That's how you, I think you would tell
like,
me that.
Well, John is so in such control of his mind, he's just going to, almost like out of Pentecostalism, like, I'm going to say the thing, I'm going to name it and claim it. I'm going to name it and claim this peace that I don't feel.
But I would have said that I don't believe in name and claim it.
Right.
Right.
So it was almost like, you were more positive than I was always, but it was almost a little irritating when you would be like, no, this person's going to be fine, or this situation's going to be fine. I'd be like, I don't even know if John believes that, or if he's just saying it.
You know? I rarely say something I don't believe.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm super honest. I just, that's, there's an authenticity thing about me, even when I haven't always been as forthright or as vulnerable as I should have been.
Yeah.
This sense, it's a justice thing that's real misplaced, but it's a, I don't. So my wife thinks I have some four.
Misplaced Justice sounds like a TNT show.
Misplaced Justice.
Yeah. About like a judge that's been, he gets like sent back to his hometown to work. You know, he gets thrown off the bench.
Yeah.
In this federal job and he goes back.
He's like he's a district attorney.
So he's working in a really poor county now. Yeah. Misplaced Justice.
That's what they had to do. They had to put him back there in order to pay back his debt to society for the mistake.
Yeah. I don't know if this has ever happened. Maybe
it's
that's, I don't think it's a real story. It doesn't feel like a sitcom. It feels dark.
Feels like Doc Holliday. No. Mm. What was that? Is that the name?
No.
Doc Holliday. Doc Hollywood. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fish out of water.
Yeah.
It's a judge out of water. Okay. See, go ahead.
Judges love water. But like right now, I'm in a place where I feel more trusting. I had some dark times. It's not that I didn't trust God or trust it's going to work out. Well, maybe I could say that. Like, I begin to lose faith that things are going to work out, which is a big thing for me, as you said, like in my life. Like, hey, I can hold fast because this is going to work out.
Yeah.
And usually it does. And then a bunch of things over the last several years especially have not.
Well, and what workout looks like can be different. You know, it could be like, you know, sometimes God's definition of good is not your definition of good. You know, you have to kind of be reconciled to that.
And I preach that, and I believe that. But there are some things...
Yeah.
Even if you believe them, I mean, fully believe them. There's a line in a Stephen Curtis Chapman song, because you know they've been through so much,
right?
And he says, basically, no one can ever really know what that you can say and believe these things, but you really can never know until all the lights go out, like what it's like. And so, because there's a guy, same thing again. Very, hey, God's going to work us all out, and he believes that, and then all of a sudden, you know, loses his daughter.
Yeah, you get it tested.
And, you know, that journey of when all the lights go out, it's a different thing. And there is a building, a testing, and I hate to use that word. You and I would shy away from testing because that was so embedded in our...
Yeah.
Every negative experience of people's lives coming out of charismatic circles is God's testing me. And there's some real bad theology in that. Like everything happening to you is not necessarily a test from God. But when you really study what those words scripturally mean of testing, then you understand it's more about almost like a crucible, a refining. So it is a test, but it's not like you pass, you fail. It's a formation thing.
Yeah.
It's through this experience, I'm allowing these things to happen to you and they're going to change you. But it's gonna suck. Like, it's gonna be hard. They don't have to change you. You can run from this. You know, you could be Jonah and run from it. You know, or I can change you. And so, like, but man, it hurts. And I'm not trying to overplay whatever pain I've been in versus someone else's. But I think it's okay. I'm at a stage of therapy in life to go, hey, it's okay to say
everybody's got their own pain.
Yeah, everybody's got their thing. Humanity is a shared diagnosis. You know, we have a shared diagnosis,
which isn't, that's a, maybe a CBS show.
Shared
It'd
diagnosis.
Be about two doctors who have totally different like ways of practicing and they get thrown together.
Yeah. And like they both,
the
have...
judge from the first show ordered them. What was the first show called again?
Misplaced Justice.
He orders these two doctors. Oh, one's sorry. Like a wacky maybe he's like an alternative medicine guy, holistic, you know, and then the other guy's like a by the numbers. Wow. And he goes, you're going to work this out. And now they have to share diagnosis.
CBS this fall.
This fall.
I like it.
And it'll be gone by just before winter.
Right.
I give it 6 weeks.
One season.
Yeah. Half a season. It will not be, they won't get a reorder.
They didn't pick up the
they didn't pick it up.
No. I would like to think that one of our shows would do well. I don't know why you're already, again, I'm the optimist in this relationship,
yeah.
And that's really weird.
Well, there's no writers now. You know, there's a writer's strike.
This is our chance.
You know, with the last time there was some stuff going on, I was with CAA, which is the largest agency in the world at the time. It may still be, creative artist. And I kind of was in, but I was such a tiny fish in that gigantic pond. But my agent, he goes, this is like if you had any idea in your back pocket,
now
like this
good.
Is the time. And I was like, yeah, but I'm a scab if I do it.
Yeah.
You know, you go start pitching things and they're like, I'll do it for half of what they're.
That's our next show. Just like, remember that movie, uh-huh. The Replacements, which is when all the football players went on strike and these people came out and walked on NFL teams.
Uh-huh.
That's what we do. We write a show about really bad writers writing shows while writers on strike.
That's actually good.
That'd be a funny, like we just write these awful.
And then these horribly corrupt, like big eight, like picking them up because like we got nothing else.
Yeah.
This would never pass muster. And then right as the show is about to get made, the strike ends.
Yes.
And then real people come in and go, this is crap.
Right.
We're not making this. Yeah.
We could like almost create like a Ted Lasso type character of someone who legitimately no one believes can write it.
Right.
And this show seems like you, like the show that you're making is, imagine this. Imagine.
It's so meta. It's a show within a show within a show.
But imagine someone telling you that Ted Lasso, just telling you what it was. Mm-hmm. All right. American football coach.
Right.
Who is mediocre, but he's loved.
Yeah.
Right. He's really cheesy, mm-hmm. over the top cheesy, positive. So much that most people roll their eyes. And in order to, I mean, just listen to the premise. But he's going to go coach soccer. He doesn't even know what.
Doesn't know the rules.
What it is. But in order almost like to spite her ex-husband, billionaire husband, and now she owns this club, this owner of this club is going to bring in this, this football, American football coach. You go, I don't know if that could work.
That's definitely not three seasons.
No. So like,
yeah.
But it ended up being something special to people,
mm-hmm.
because of the character development, right? That's what our show's about. Like, you're doubting the replacement writers.
All right.
But we come up with something, Johnny. You know what we come up with? Misplaced justice,
uh-huh.
and shared diagnosis.
And shared diagnosis.
We start just pitching shows left and right.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can get Timothy Oliphant and all those TNT kind of actors on board. You know, there's that group of people, Kira Sedgwick.
Uh-huh.
There's all those people that do those TNT shows. Now some of them, they're looking for the next project.
Do you have time to write a pilot? Because
I don't know. I do. I mean, I spend it on other things, probably. We both have time, John.
Well.
You're spending your time doing something.
I spend my time recording this podcast.
I know.
Maybe we should be writing shows instead of doing this.
Hey, I think we just did. We're done. Well, this is what you could sell the story idea. Now somebody else makes the spec script. I want half.
See, I don't know how that... I don't think you can just sell an idea.
Even better, somebody listens to this show, steals our idea. They
and
get all of it.
Sue them.
Okay.
It's better to get money on the back end of a lawsuit.
We're not going to sue people.
Don't speak for me. I might sue you for saying that. If you just,
we should threaten to sue.
You just committed me to not suing, and I did not agree to that. I have my lawyers on speed dial. I do think right now in life, there is a joy... And there is a trust that now out of some darkness that, and even some correction,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to go deep into that necessarily yet, but some correction that I feel like, man, now I know some things might not work out,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, it's more clear to me. I had this thought this morning. When you're in ministry, the idea is that things related to ministry are connected to this all things work together for good or God's going to work things out. Like for your soul, your salvation, for eternity, the answer is yes, God will work all things out for good. I think a lot of guys get into ministry and they sort of lump that all in. Like, well, look, if this is what God wants me to do and this is the work of the kingdom, then this is going to work out. It's like the two things are connected.
Yeah.
But if you really look, like Moses' call to, you know, lead the children of Israel out of Egypt is fraught with difficulty from start to finish till the guy dies at 120 years of age. He goes in. They kind of don't believe him. The Israelites don't believe him.
Yeah.
At first, they're kind of excited. Then he goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, no, now you're going to make more bricks without hay. And they're like, what are you doing? God doesn't show up, is what it looks like. And if you look at it, like even the people of Israel rejected him. Egypt rejected him. Israel rejected him. No one believed him. He's, you know, a former murderer. He's a, you know, you were Egyptian royalty and now you're acting like you're one of us and you're not. I mean, he's a man with no country and no one accepts him. And this goes on for a long time.
Yeah.
He goes back. God says, go tell him again. He goes and does what he's told. And what happens? It's awful. Pharaoh says, no, you know. And then, you know, then God does show up and starts plagues. You go, well, this will finally get it. And like, it's one plague's not enough.
Yeah.
Like, it just keeps going and going and going of whatever it is.
Yeah.
God, there's your next show. One plague is not enough.
I think it's interesting the way you pronounce plague.
Plague.
Plague. It's like a square plague in a round hole. You say plague, don't you?
I do say plague. I saw your face. There was something I said.
You knew something was...
There was like when I was talking... It's like when I'm talking to my daughter and I can tell something
she's
I said.
She's hung up on a word.
She's gone somewhere. Her eyes are drifting.
Her brow crinkles. Yeah.
I'm like, wow, it'd be nice. I see that with people when I'm preaching too.
Yeah.
Did you see the video I sent you the other day?
No. What happened?
Guys,
describe it to me.
I think it was that Deuteronomy memes.
Yeah.
Account.
Deuteronomy memes.
I don't know why I have,
there's so many Christian meme accounts that are
And I'm not on Instagram very often. Like, I don't spend a lot of time
on
Instagram.
John, it's fun, whatever.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that legitimately.
Kill your television. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares
if you have a television.
It's not on television, Johnny. It's on Instagram.
It's even worse. It's in your soul. It's in your heart. Okay, what happened on this video?
This guy's preaching.
Yeah.
It reminded me so much of some experiences we had.
Yeah, I saw the preacher. You sent me the thumbnail of it. Looks like
we knew a guy.
Every East Tennessee pastor you ever saw.
But we knew a guy. We served under a guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow. And
okay.
He was like, I'm gonna do the best I can.
Okay.
He's preaching. He's like,
right.
He stops. He's like, hey, you. No, don't fall asleep while I'm preaching. No. And he says, look, I'm important.
Oh, he says it.
I'm somebody. I think he says the words, I'm important. I'm somebody.
Yeah.
He comes down off the stage into the crowd and basically starts berating this man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you come in here and fall asleep and just like, oh, my gosh. And then since he's down there and already, you know, preachers, this is a weird thing. Politicians do this, too. Now, he's already made a fool of himself in some ways.
Right.
And so...
He doubles down.
Instead of like going, man, he's in it now.
Doubles down.
And because there's a religious, I think, context to it, he has to double down.
Right.
Now I got to go all the way. I can't come back. They're going to think that... Because he's equated himself now as important. This is a God moment happening.
Yeah.
You're sleeping in it.
It's a holy rebuke now.
Right.
It's not just a guy who's got his ego up in flames. Yeah.
This is touch not my anointed stuff.
Right.
And so then he just starts turning to another person. And you can't see
him. Oh, no.
And he goes,
find somebody else to pick
down
on.
Here. He goes, and you want me to do your wedding.
Oh, boy.
And you're the worst. I think he says something like, you're one of the worst members we have. You never come. You're just like the first time you've been here in 6 weeks.
She was like, but I paid a deposit. I filled out the form online.
Well, it's a dude.
Oh.
And then he goes, and you want me to marry you to her? And he points to the fiance.
Oh, no.
I don't even know her or something. Like, he's just like,
ooh.
Just going off. It's on camera.
Yeah.
And then he walks over and he goes, hey, stand up. I mean, Johnny, this is, I mean.
And bro, the camera's getting?
They see now the guy when he stands up.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, stand up, big boy. He does the big boy. It's such an East Tennessee thing.
Because,
let's acknowledge the guy's weight while we're doing this. And he goes, hey, you know I love you, right? And of course, what's the guy going to say? He's like, yeah. I mean, the guy's like,
of course,
he's visibly
shaking. I'm big boy.
Yeah.
I know you love me.
And he hugs him like, so he tries to like play all this off like it was loving.
Right.
I'm not saying that what he said wasn't true or accurate to everyone present. Or maybe the guy shouldn't have fallen asleep.
If we all just said nothing but everything we're thinking, even if it's true, it's still the breakdown of civilization.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of what people were into now. They're just like, well, look, he's on. I like that he just speaks his mind. It's like, we're not all supposed to speak our mind all the time.
Most of Scripture is about not speaking
your mind. Yeah, self-control. Yeah.
If a man can bridle his tongue, then he is in control.
Oh, my gosh.
Of his entire, it says his entire self, basically.
I want to say that I appreciate that you never called me big boy in front of everybody. Hey, you never pointed me out and said, hey, big boy.
Hey, big boy. Let's
make sure the camera gets this. Johnny's three bills.
And when they turned to it, it was a Shoney's big boy. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. So they got a literal one of those big statues.
Yeah. He was talking to a statue.
It's interesting. That was an interesting turn in our culture when big boy was a thing that was a positive because it meant like you're going to get full in this restaurant.
Yeah.
We have a fat guy for our statue to show you like these aren't small portions.
Yeah.
And then we had reached a tipping point in our culture where it was like, we're not going to big boy.
Right.
Because
we have cholesterol.
We have a house full of big boys now. And so they started taking down those statues. Yeah. And it was just like, we're just Shoney's now.
It's just boy.
We have a salad bar. We promise everything's going to be okay.
Moderation
Shoney's boy. Yeah, moderation boy.
Yeah. It's a. All that being said, somebody falling asleep, I just let it go.
Right.
Usually. I don't point.
What if it's a lot of people? Has noxious gas been released into the room?
If I see more than two people, which rarely, because I won't look at them anymore because it'll mess with me, I can usually tell it's because something's wrong with someone has the air up too high. That's why I'll tell them, keep this place cold. Like if it's hot.
This is, oh, well, yeah. Okay.
If it's hot, people are more like, I know if I'm sitting somewhere and someone's talking and it's hot and it's Sunday morning. And I was up watching the Vols.
Keep this place
the
cold.
Night before. Yeah, keep it
so
cold.
So you're doing a little social engineering from the pulpit.
I'm just saying it's going to make
you're doing
it
a little people,
easier for
you're doing
them.
Doing a little sociological study.
Easier for them to receive.
We noticed that the lab rats, when we kept it at 68 degrees, offerings were up by 12%.
Yeah.
I don't like your attitude.
Well, you know me, John. I'm all about the numbers. And it shows. You cannot argue with the results.
I can't.
You could argue with the results.
I can't. I don't like to argue.
I just think that I'm at that place, though, where I'm going, man, it's not foolish to be hopeful.
Yeah.
It's Christian.
Yeah, I think we talked about that before, but I think that I've learned that about, like, cynicism. There's a bravery in hope, and it's so much easier to be negative because then you can almost make things go badly with your negative attitude than be like, see, I told you. It's like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
But by that same way, if you're around a bunch of hopeful people and good things happen, that's, again, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have hopeful people. And hopeful people are more, they're more exciting to be around. There's a pleasantness. You always imagine it's like, oh, these delusional hopeful people. But no, it's like, it's pretty great to be around people who are positive.
Well, here's the thing. Bad things happen to hopeful people, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I want to be.
Please don't call your next book that. That's a bummer of a title.
I think I want to be the guy that is hopeful regardless.
Yeah.
Like, this didn't work out.
Now we know another way not to do it.
Well,
is that what you're going to say?
Even if, like, here's what gets me. Sometimes, and this is, I think, where the crucible's been for me.
Mm-hmm.
There are things I can do my best and still can't control.
Right.
Things that in the past, when I did my best, they worked out differently. And suddenly, this is not something I can control.
Are you gonna do the prayer again? Are you going to do what's the serenity prayer? God grant me, God give me the, how did you reword it? I can't remember.
Oh, I can't remember. I posted, it was like early, was it MySpace? I can't remember. It was like early Facebook
MySpace days. Yeah.
It was early. And I posted one day, I spent all day, man, I was having like the spiritual moment and really like dealing, this was years ago, dealing with something. And I posted like this prayer and you and my wife both within like 2 hours were like, hey, you know, you just...
Yeah. Congratulations on coming up with...
The serenity prayer.
Yeah.
God grant me the... Okay.
It was something about the wisdom and the... But the key is knowing the difference. And I go... It was something like you really put your own little John Driver stamp on it.
The serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Like,
obviously, the guy who wrote this, I think it was in the 50s.
Yeah.
He was probably less wordy than me. Like his is more concise.
Yours almost took two tweets. It was like one of two. And continued on next page, dear listener.
one of two, one of four.
Yeah.
But no, I think that there is like, here's the thing. It's a, like, I want to be now. I don't just want things to work out. Yeah. I want them to work out.
Yeah.
I want to be Moses. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be the person.
Won't that preach?
That, like, when I die someday, I want my legacy not to be just what I did. I don't even know if I want my legacy to be anything. Like,
yeah.
I think what I'm at a place where, like, okay, I would really like it if this doesn't work out that I didn't fall apart. Because I have fallen apart. I haven't stopped trusting God and all those things. There's another line in one of those songs. I've rested, I've wrestled, I've trusted, I've tested. Like, I've done all of it. I've done terrible and I've done good. Like, that's my story. I've done it, like, I've been foolish and I've also held fast, you know.
Yeah.
And God's grace has held me in that. I don't want to be done with it. I want to keep wrestling with it. But in that, I've tested God's patience. Like, there's no doubt I've tested God's patience. I'm not the only one being tested. I've tested him big time.
Yeah.
And in the crucible of my foolishness, God has proven himself to be completely trustworthy. And I can, you know, so, but that being said, I'm not asking it not to work out. But man, wouldn't it be great if you're that person? Have you ever been around those people?
You mean that's like, even when it doesn't work out?
When it all works out, that they didn't change.
Yeah.
Like that they.
Yeah. There's a thing I've always think about that is when Larry Bird coached for a short time for the Pacers, he was in the playoff game. I think they were playing the Bulls, Michael Jordan Bulls, which they lost the series, but it was like game six. And I remember one of his players had two or three seconds to get a shot off. They take this shot to win the game and it went in. And they panned to Larry Bird's expression, and it did not change.
Wow.
He didn't do the thing where he was like, I can't believe it. He was just like, yeah, we drew the play up. The ball goes in the hole. We live to fight another day. Like, if it had not gone in, you know he would have known the camera's on him, and his face is not going to change, or he might have frowned a little bit. But, like, I remember thinking, like, this guy's made of stone. Like, how do you...
Yeah.
I mean, Indiana basketball is everything, like... It was crazy to just watch this guy just be like, I've seen it all.
I think there's a seasoning, and again, some things you can't know until the lights go out. But a guy who's taken so many last-second shots knows.
Right.
There's a statistical element to this that I can't control, and I'm at peace with that.
Well, and he also has to get his players ready for the next game because they didn't win the series from that. So he can't be like, we did it, you guys. He's got to be the one guy in that locker room that's like, the job's not
Stay
done.
Stay hungry. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't like he thought about his reaction. It was like, that's what was in him.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't like, I bet there's a camera on me. I can't get too excited here. He's just that guy. He's just Larry Bird.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I was like, man, I'll never forget that. I was just a kid. But
see, that stuff, that's powerful to me. Because that kind of like, who would I be if I didn't know anyone's watching?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I actually?
You're Larry Bird.
And it turns out I'm the spiritual Larry Bird.
You're the
really not a great looking guy.
No.
People are surprised.
You've got bangs for some reason.
Yeah.
Even though guys aren't really having bangs much anymore.
And I'm so unorthodox in the way that approach life. People are a little surprised when good things happen. They're like, how did he get?
Yeah.
Looks like that shot shouldn't have gone in.
Right.
You know? I think this is it's an apples to apples comparison.
It really is.
God, that's great.
Well, speaking of faces from the past, John.
Oh.
heroes.
If you will.
I think it's time that we look at this week in history. It's a segment we call Talk About Then. Beautiful.
Thank you. I play that live every time.
On his little Casio keyboard. This week, 1789, John, do you know what... was proposed to the U.S. Congress by James Madison?
U.S. Constitution.
The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights comprises the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution.
Okay, because the Constitution wasn't fully ratified, I think, until like 90...
Yeah, this was, I don't know why they were already amending it then in 1789. It was proposed.
No,
so.
I'll tell you why. Because the Constitution wasn't going to pass. This was the Bill of Rights was the compromise between.
Kind of grease the wheels.
The two,
I see.
The beginnings of the two parties. They had to have a human rights in addition to all of the representative
government. It comprises the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Yep. As you know, John, it provides guarantees of personal freedoms and rights, clear limitations on the government's power in judicial and other proceedings, and explicit declarations that all powers not specifically granted to the federal government by the Constitution are reserved to the states or to the people.
Yeah. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That is the essence of the tension of American democracy.
Right.
Is
right, right, that we need government and we also need to protect against government overreach.
Right, that they said, again, everything not explicitly given to the federal government is not it. Think about the difference between that and other governments, an oligarchy or dictatorship.
Right. It's implied that
we get
the power.
Right.
Yeah. Whenever we say no, whenever we say that, whenever it's not said, we have all the power.
Right.
Whereas in ours, it's whenever it's not said, you have the power.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to let us.
You err on the side of
give
freedom.
Give you the power.
Right.
Either through congressional
means
or by the states ratifying something. So it takes away the assumption of a centralized government having all the power, which I know that'd be debated today, especially with Republican and Democrat both, with the proliferation of so many executive orders and other things that honestly didn't get wrapped up in the courts. And we still have that as a remedy of like, hey, was this constitutionally allowed or not? So interesting.
Yeah. John, this week, 1786.
Wow.
An ad appears in the New York Post. The New York Post boy. Which was evidently a thing. The New York Post Boy newspaper.
It was the precursor to the Shoney's.
It's for the first commercially produced ice cream.
Wow.
The ad read, "Ladies and gentlemen may be supplied with ice cream every day at the City Tavern by their humble servant, Joseph Cowell." C-O-W-E. I guess it was Cowell and not Co. Isn't that interesting? Joseph Cowell made the first ice cream?
Come on, now.
The first commercially produced? It doesn't say if the flavor. I could do more research to find out like what flavors were offered then. But what's your flavor, John?
I mean, if I had to just pick, so say we had Neapolitan or something, I would want a mix of vanilla and chocolate. That's
fine. The blandest. Although I really like vanilla.
But if I go somewhere,
the older I get, the more I'm like, I like a good vanilla bean.
Yeah, vanilla. Us acting like vanilla is that's just vanilla, meaning like it has no taste or no whatever.
Yeah.
Like vanilla is. The top-selling ice cream – I've watched a Food That Built America on this. It's the top-selling ice cream flavor for a reason.
But then people do want to kind of add their chocolate syrup and their things to it, their sprinkles.
It is a good backdrop for other things.
It's a palate.
I will say this. If I go to a fancy ice cream store – so my daughter and wife are both in the shaved ice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't – I can do it. I do it. But it just doesn't do it for me unless it has ice cream mixed in. I'm an ice cream purist in that respect.
You want shaved ice with ice cream?
But they do it. They call it stuffed or whatever. So they have like ice cream at the center, and so it kind of mixes. They
call it ruined.
Or a blendini. Some do those where they blend them. But there's a place here in town now called Jeremiah's, and they have shaved ice stuff. Or it's Italian ice, actually. But they also have custard. If I had to pick between like what kind of ice cream, I'm a custard guy.
Yeah.
I'll pick custard all day long. But if I have to have like Jenny's ice cream, or something that's kind of uppity. I will.
A lot of those places in Nashville.
Or like a frozen yogurt place. I love. You're going to laugh at this.
Okay.
I love cake batter ice cream.
Right.
And I'll even do birthday cake, like cake flavored ice cream.
I got you on this subject because John's on keto all the time.
And he just.
So whenever he wants to. Whenever I say, hey, let's talk about sugar, he's off to the races. Did you see like how much
there's
faster? How much faster John started talking? Then there's the Blendini. Then there's the great Blendini, which is a magician who takes $15 from your family. He makes it disappear. Anyway,
you see where my passions lie.
The Laki, L-A-K-I, Laki, Lakey volcano eruption was this week, 1783.
There's a lot of 1780s today.
Southern Iceland, which you spent some time in Iceland. I don't know if it was southern or northern where you were at. You were in Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
This is southern Iceland ultimately caused a famine.
Wow.
Because it spewed 14 kilometers of lava cubed over the following months, ultimately causing a famine that resulted in the death of about 20 to 25% of Iceland's population.
Ooh.
So I don't know. That's crazy. Lava fountains were estimated to have reached heights of 2,600 to 4,600 feet.
Wow.
So they had some... That thing really erupted.
Yeah.
That's something. And it caused a famine. It even caused a low flow in the River Nile, resulting in a famine that killed 1/6 of Egypt's population.
Holy cow.
So this thing clogged up every waterway. It's not great.
Wow.
And then you came along later on a missions trip.
Yeah, I think in the narrative of Iceland.
Yeah. Those are the two big.
Yeah.
Those are the two big markers. Lava, eruption.
In the year 2000.
Famine, John Driver's visit.
Yeah.
John, let's leave this. Let's make this the last one because I think it's interesting. The shortest Major League Baseball player was born this week, 1925. Do you want to take a guess at how tall he was? He was a pinch hitter for the St. Louis Browns. Let me say that, if that helps.
That doesn't help.
Shortest baseball player.
Okay, shortest has to be pretty short. I'm going to call it 4'11".
You're way off.
Really?
He was 3'7".
Come on.
Yeah, he made him the shortest player in Major League Baseball. He walked.
You probably couldn't pitch to him.
He was walked with 4 straight balls on his only time at bat. So he didn't play long, evidently. After his time at bat, he said, "Man, I felt like Babe Root." That's what he said. So he made a little pun.
You should put him in every game. You couldn't find the strike zone.
I think that's what happened. They couldn't.
What, they only put him in one time?
I don't know. He died of a heart attack in 1961 after being severely beaten in a fight. So his first at bat and only at bat was 1951. By 61, he'd fallen on hard times.
He had a heart attack. He died.
He beat up a little guy like that?
Come on.
Of course, maybe it was another little guy. We don't know.
Maybe he was a monster. We don't know just because he was.
That's true. Maybe he wasn't a great dude.
Yeah.
But
we can't make a hero out of a human based upon the outward appearance, Johnny.
That's right.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't know. Some of y'all been.
This sounds like a movie we could write, though. This is the screenplay.
Uh-huh.
Babe Root. Yeah. And we tell his story. Maybe we add some more to it because it ended kind of tragically.
And it doesn't feel like it was a long career. No. There's a picture of this guy, and it looks like he's a little league player out there with, like, the catcher is on his knees. And I'm not kidding that he is taller on his knees than this player.
How did he make
it? That strike zone's got to be completely wonky.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know how he made it all the way. Maybe it was like a gimmick kind of a thing.
He had to be a decent athlete. Come on.
A stunt to bring him in.
Maybe. He was stunted is more.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, rest in peace, Eddie Gaedel. 3'7". How tall are you again, John?
Johnny, that's a whole thing. But
it depends on who you ask.
I'm somewhere between 5'9 and 5'10. Yeah. I'd like to say, we used to say.
If you stand up straight, don't you have this device that you wear sometimes now?
Fine. An apparatus. 5'10 and a half is what I went.
An apparatus that makes your shoulders go back.
You were at the house of the day, and didn't I bring that out for one of our. I loaned it to him, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you did.
A posture corrector. I haven't used it in years. I really use it if I'm typing and I get that writer's shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I'll do it to pull my, or if I'm running and get it, sometimes my left shoulder will get me if I run long distances.
Yeah.
Right now I'm in decent running shape, so I don't have it as much when I first start.
Yeah.
So I kind of have it mostly to pull my shoulders back so that, 'cause my bad posture will eventually start hurting real bad if I have long book writing sessions, which I haven't had as many.
If you ever run while writing a book now,
it's double whammy. Let me tell you.
Like the devil's on your back.
Ugh. It's like a.
Won't that preach?
Man, I tell you, some of y'all been.
Some of y'all need to correct your posture by, I don't know. Walking straight.
You need to put something from the outside onto yourself that aligns yourself
you
with
put
something
it on.
Other than yourself.
You put it on. It's the, what is it? The
armor?
Posture corrector of
God.
Yeah.
Put on Christ, the Bible says. You know what I'm saying? You put him on and take off the old.
Cinch it up.
Yeah.
Then you can feel free to run.
I think I did use that. I think I did it in a Sunday.
You probably did. It sounds like.
I know I did.
It writes itself.
I wore it on a Sunday morning under my shirt.
Oh, and you did the whole thing of like, you guys notice anything? They're like, no, we don't.
No, they didn't. That's the whole point. It's like, you didn't notice, but I'm wearing something that is now aligning me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to show you. I'm just making myself.
Please don't show them. Because it borders on sports bra. It had straps and.
The straps in the back.
It didn't have cups, but it had everything but the cups. Didn't it?
It goes around your shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had everything but the cups.
Yeah.
So you were like, you guys want to see it? They're like, please don't.
What would you.
Please don't.
Seinfeld was the bro.
The bro. The man's ear.
The man's ear.
Yeah.
I don't know what we would call this.
Yeah,
it needs a posture.
It's a cupless. It's a cupless bra.
Let's not call it that.
It's a Lincoln cupless. Wait, that's a. It's a cupless supreme.
That's Oldsmobile, isn't it?
Yeah, Oldsmobile cupless.
Oh, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You had your chance.
I did.
Hey, there's pretty exciting things happening, Johnny. In fact.
Yes.
By the time this comes out, the event will be over.
I'm sorry, you're not helping at all.
Sorry, guys.
But I do have other shows coming up. So
we could say, man, what a great show we had last night.
We won't know. You don't. Now you've messed it up. You can't.
Again, you're the pessimist, and
I know.
There's no chance it's not going to go well.
Okay. Well, as long as people come and they're ready to have a good time, that's okay. We're having a show here at our home church here.
We've sold a good number of tickets.
That's good. Well, I'm a big draw, as you know.
Johnny's kind of a big deal.
I'm not. But
hey, by the way, you know you have to do something Sunday morning. You offered that.
Okay.
So I've already put you into.
Oh, I got to do a little sing for my supper.
Yeah. You asked.
What's the idea?
Want me to?
But what's the idea? Is it just like to announce it, or do you want me to do a little?
I think if you could.
Oh man.
Here's the thing. I'll try to introduce you.
Oh no.
Well, actually, I'm speaking that day. Are you going to be here?
Yeah, I'll be around.
Yeah. We don't want someone saying, "Hey, Johnny's going to come be funny."
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want that.
Right. We don't want that.
No, just I don't like that.
I won't do that.
No, but yeah, I'll get up and we'll try to sell some last minute tickets, John. But okay. It's too late for you, the listener, to buy tickets
it's
to that.
Too late.
But there are other shows. You can find those at johnnyw.com. And there's links in our podcast show too. Like if you go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com, you can find all of our archived shows, 260 plus now. We're careening towards 270, probably.
Careening.
And a near derailment.
It's a lot. It's a lot of John and Johnny talking.
Yeah. But you can find that. You can even go to the top right link there and support the show. Get ad-free versions of the show.
Yeah.
But we do love our fine supporters and our fine advertising supporters.
Yeah.
There's two ways to support the show. One is to be the ad person that gives us money to put your products on. The other way is to support us, and then we don't play you those ads.
Yeah.
So, hey, y'all need to play ball.
Yeah.
One way or the other. Hey, pick a horse.
Get in the game.
Yeah.
Like
the horse game? What a kind of...
Put the horse in the game.
We're mixing metaphors over here.
I guess polo.
Oh, that's true. That is a game.
It's a horse.
It's a match, probably. A polo match.
Would you call horse racing a game? I wouldn't.
No, not the way I do it. No.
That's great. You can also check out johndriver.com. I know Johnny tells you to go to Amazon, but
don't do that.
You can
just go to johndriver.com.
My Amazon page is on johndriver.com.
Right. But go to johndriver.com.
Yeah.
It's not .net.
I pay for that.
It's not .net anymore.
It's never been .net.
I thought you had johndriver.net for a long time.
In the old days, I've had johndriver.com for over a decade.
Didn't you have to leverage it from somebody?
I had a friend who went and found. Yeah, we had to do some work.
Yeah,
that friend's passed on now. But
do you want to ballpark how much you paid for the rights to johndriver.com?
Not as much as you'd think.
Oh, okay.
It's not that big of a deal.
Didn't he want more though? Because no, people domain sit.
He negotiated the guy down. I think. At the time, it was a lot of money for him.
Yeah. I want to say he wanted like $2,000, didn't he?
I think originally, but it wasn't. I think we got him down to like $7.50 or something. The
$7.50?
$7.50.
Wow.
No, that's the value of my name.
Mm-hmm.
It's not much.
But this was 10 years ago.
It was actually more than that, probably.
So your name now, who knows?
$7.75.
I'll sell it. I'll give you $800 for that domain.
If someone wants to make an offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be.
So go there and send John an email if you'd like to go ahead and
buy
the domain.
You could control the narrative about what happens in my life and career.
It's like editing someone's Wikipedia. You can wreak a lot of havoc if you own the .com with their name in it.
Yeah.
You can wreak some havoc.
You know, there's also I haven't hooked it up yet. By that, I mean.
Yeah.
I was going to make it one of the forwarders, but I now own. Okay. JohnCDriver.com. Because some of the new books I'm doing, I'm adding the C, so
right.
I'm less confused with the Midnight Theologian.
Very prestigious sounding.
The other John Driver is amazing.
We have nothing against him. There's
no.
not a beef.
No. He's.
It's not like a rap
I think
battle.
He's in his 80s. I mean, he's older, but he's a seasoned theologian
So you think you could take him?
No. I don't think I could take anybody.
No.
He'd probably be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd break you in half and bench press the pieces.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm not the foolish guy that thinks because I'm younger than someone that the truth is, Johnny,
yeah,
I've not been in a lot of fights.
Yeah.
I know that's shocking.
No.
But no, it's not shocking. We've seen you. So
it's fine.
Guys, what a fun day. We appreciate you taking the time with us. Hey, man, again, really, go see Johnny W. live and walk up and tell him, like, hey, I listen to the podcast. That's always something
I do enjoy hearing that on the road.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing it a lot more.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to tell you that. I did a show in North Carolina, and somebody said, they said, they got there early, and they were so, they said, we've listened to the podcast. We've listened to every episode.
Wow.
They said, tell John. We said, hey. And I said, I will. And I didn't
you
do
didn't
it.
Until now.
Didn't do it until just now.
Yeah. Every episode, that's a commitment. I want to say thank you to them.
Yes.
That's, you know who you are. Johnny doesn't remember your name. It's obvious.
They're good people.
No, seriously, it means a lot, man. We're still surprised that people...
We're going to keep making them.
They keep
coming,
man.
If you keep listening.
Yeah, so thanks for doing it, and we'll do it again next week on...
Talk About That.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.